You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
So here we are, season 2, chapter 2, episode 2, whatever you want to call it. We're back again. Mm-hmm. And we've got a... I don't really think we have a lot of topics to talk about. We've got a couple games that took place last weekend, and then we got a couple situations going down all throughout the week. And then, you know, the Pro Bowl's coming up this weekend, which nobody really cares because it's probably the most fun that anybody's going to have in the NFL all year.
Pittsburgh fans care. We have arrived.
In the Pro Bowl. Congratulations.
I heard the Pro Bowl practice was like 30 minutes long. Like, yeah, why even have a practice?
Well, I saw it was more of a dance contest. I saw Ziggy Elliott playing defensive end.
Yeah, so. It was more of a dance contest. The boys just there listening to music and vibing.
Which, I mean, I'm fine with, but it's just, it's funny. It's funny you have a 30-minute practice.
Yeah, it's almost as much of a joke as, like, my Raiders coaching staff coaching the Senior Bowl.
Or like your boy.
Let's go 4-12 and get to coach the seniors.
The Jags had that job, that gig with Gus Bradley for a while, and they didn't have very good records. But what's up with your boy Derek Carr threatening to go UFC stats against Stephen A and them boys?
I don't know.
Do you see Vegas already had the odds that Stephen A beating them? Like, if they actually fought Vegas. What is Vegas doing? That's your quarterback, Vegas. And you got Stephen A beating them? You got odds on Stephen A? What are y'all doing?
I think it's just a hoax and a ruse, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, let's be honest though. I mean, like, I'm on record saying Derek Carr, yeah, he is my boy, but I'm on record stating that ever since his fractured fibula, or he broke his leg, or whatever you want to call it, whatever, you know. Ever since that happened, he has not been the same quarterback. I've been on record saying it. I love Derek Carr as a human. He's probably one of the best humans that are out there, in my opinion, you know, as far as just the way he leads his life. But this is very not untypical of Derek Carr, first of all. And like I was saying, I just don't feel like, but as far as on the field, like, he's just not – what he used to be, or what his potential. I think his potential has. I mean, he's almost peaked.
Yeah,
sad to say.
Well, give him a couple receivers. We'll see. I mean, we'll touch back on this later, Willie. Let's see if Oakland gets him some, or Vegas, or whatever.
I mean, it's almost as crazy as Marshawn Lynch's interview. Did y'all see that? Did y'all hear about his interview?
Jacksonville.
I mean, dude. Hey, for a first round, take it.
Obviously,
we take first round picks. I heard it.
If Gruden cuts him to try and save some of that money, I heard Jags are in line.
Some of what money, bro? We've unsaved so much. We've gotten rid of Mac, who's about to be loaded up.
Like,
and
$127 million contract, though, something crazy like that.
Well, he got a lot of money. There's no doubt. But we still got offloaded two players that we were getting paid and going to have to pay a lot of money. So I really feel like, I mean, we're nickel and diming, other than
one of which was a defensive MVP candidate.
Y'all are trying to moneyball this thing. That's what y'all trying to do.
We're not moneyballing. Ladies and gentlemen, we had some good games this. Well, I feel like we had some really good games this past weekend. The NFC and the AFC championship took place. The AFC championship between the Patriots and the Chiefs. The GOAT, the King Don, the Kingpin. The guy who could drop F-bombs on live TV and nobody even say anything, Tom Brady. I mean, did y'all not hear that? I heard it.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, did he just say that? And they just kept rolling. But Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, they went head-to-head with Kansas City, the number one seed at Kansas City Chiefs, and young Patty Mahomes, who's on Nick's couch right now, enjoying the life, because Tom Brady's actually on a plane to Phoenix. I mean, on a plane to
Atlanta
to play in the Super Bowl. So, thoughts on the AFC Championship game, guys? I had New England winning. What are y'all thoughts? I mean, did y'all? I'm pretty sure, Nick, didn't you pick Kansas City? I mean, you've been riding Patty Mahomes the whole time.
It's hard for me to remember. I suffer from short-term memory loss.
Exactly.
But it's easy to remember that Tom Brady's the GOAT. He proves it year in and year out. Like, this guy, age is not affecting him. And even when it kind of does seem to affect him, he figures out a way around it. Like,
it's like the fountain of youth.
He's changing his game. He's adapting to it.
That TB12, bro.
He just sees things before it happens. Like, he's not doing anything special other than throwing guys open, hitting extremely small windows, and just doing it at a level that no one else has ever done it before. No big deal.
So do you think Kansas City should have been watching the broadcast and listening to Tony Romo? Because your boy Romo
was... Romo's going to get a coaching job here soon.
That's what I said.
His opportunity's coming.
An OC job at the least, because the dude's reading defenses – and the dude's calling these plays. I mean, he's watching them up, and he's – OC job would be probably great for Romo. Somebody said something, and Kyle, I'll let you finish that. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but they were talking about Romo getting contract offers to come back and play. Y'all heard that, right?
Well, it makes sense, because Romo wasn't great athletically or physically or could do anything. He just read the game well. He anticipated things, and I guess what he's doing now is just proof of that. Because he was always hurt. He was always hurt, but he made guys around him a little bit better. And it was because I think he knew the game so well that he was able to see things before they happened and kind of throw guys open and just make plays, make the right reads for offensive linemen, send the running back into the right hole at the line. I mean, I think he's starting to show that probably was happening a lot in his career as a player.
Yeah. Kyle?
Oh, yeah, he's got the brain for it. I mean, he knows football. It's obvious. He knows defenses. He could read defenses. I didn't hear that he got offers to play again. It wouldn't surprise me, though. I was thinking that the other day. Like, you'd be crazy not to offer him just to get him on a workout to see what he's got left.
Just
to put him
had,
in the same locker room.
I don't know the official offers. I just saw the headline saying that Romo, somebody was looking at
like
a one-year contract. And
Tom Collins. Either way, I mean – I see him as being the next Sean McVay. I mean, why hasn't Jerry Jones knocked his door down yet to get him there to be an OC?
Because it's hard to knock down a door for somebody that may say no. Even though he's his quarterback, I just don't think he's as much of a kiss ass and as much as a yes man as Jason Garrett.
Yeah,
Cowboy fans across the world are wanting Jason Garrett to be gone. We've all known that Jason Garrett shouldn't be there. He's just the yes man. He's the guy that he's a pawn, in my opinion. He's a pawn in Jerry Jones's world. He has just got the title, but Jerry Jones is still running pretty much everything.
Which is why he's still there, right? And why Cowboy fans don't want him replaced, because that coach is just going to be unhappy. You can't replace him until Jerry Jones decides he's going to let off the reins, and that's not happening until he dies.
Well, we got to get back to the game. Kyle, what was your thoughts on the game? Because and Nick, I mean, still chime in on this, because, I mean, you talked a little bit about Tom. What do you think about the game? What did y'all think about the game? I mean, to me, the game, I mean, it was basically billed to be the game, the hype game that was going to be, even in the conditions that it was in. Like I said, it's a great game. Nick, I know you touched a little bit on the GOAT. I mean, how well did Patrick Mahomes play? And what more do you think? I mean, could there have been other – I don't think Mahomes could have done much more.
I think a kid in his, 17th, 18th start? I think he started one game last year, so this is his second year.
Yeah.
I think you got everything you could ask for in an entire season. I mean, the kid had MVP numbers. I'm sure – I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I'm sure no one has ever done what he's done at the age that he's doing it at. Like, he's kind of a protege, and he's we're watching this prodigy come up, and we may not even realize what we're seeing right now, but if he can continue these numbers, like, he'll shatter all-time great numbers. And he does it with ease. He does it, like, naturally. I'm really high on Patrick Mahomes, and I think that a lot of the league was wrong on him, and it looks like Andy Reid made a hell of a choice. The game was good. I felt like there's just not a lot of defense being played right now. Maybe it's the rules. Maybe it's just the way the games are being called. But I'm just not seeing a lot of defense. Games are being based off of, like, a big-time turnover, a big-time mistake here and there.
Right.
But the offenses are moving up and down the fields. Well, and it's not just that game. It's really league-wide.
One key stat that I took, and Kyle, I want your opinion after this. One key stat I took out of this game was the fact that the Chiefs were tied for first in the league in sacks coming into that game, and they got zero on Tom Brady. Zero. This was what we talked about. This is where I was wrong the previous week when I said the Colts would do well, Andrew Luck would beat them, because I really felt like the Colts O-line was going to sustain the Chiefs' defensive line and Dee Ford and the pressure from those guys. And I thought they were going to be able to establish the running game, which they didn't. Marlon Mack was completely slaughtered. And Andrew Luck, I mean, Andrew Luck looked like a dang kindergartner out there. I mean, honestly. I mean, he made some plays here and there, but, I mean, it was too little too late when he made those plays. So, I mean, but that's, I mean, that's huge. We talk about defense and offense and stuff like that, but when you can't get pressure on the quarterback, and just so happens that quarterback's Tom Brady, I mean, I don't feel like you have a good chance either way. It doesn't matter about turnovers or not. If you can't get pressure on Tom Brady, which is very similar to Drew Brees, and we'll get to that game in a second, but if you can't, there's a couple quarterbacks out there that can pretty much do whatever they want unless they get pressure put on them. Kyle, what do you think? I mean, the offensive line played a huge role in that game. You think that the New England's just too savvy? Brady's just too good?
What? Well, listen, man, Brady gets the ball out of his hands. I mean, he's the check down king, but his guys make people miss. So here's the thing. I had Kansas City in that game. My biggest beef.
So we're in agreement that I am the only one that got that one, right? Go ahead.
So my biggest beef with that game was Kansas City. You just watched the previous week where Los Angeles Chargers allowed the Patriots to get the ball starting off the game, drive down the field for like an 8-minute drive, take up all the clock, then instantly get a stop and turn around and score again and score again. So why would you give the Patriots the ball to start off the game? You know they could run the ball. They're running the ball great as of late. You let them shove it right down your throat because you don't have that great of a defense. And it just blows my mind that they allow the Patriots to get the ball first. I mean
– to dictate the pace.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to scheme it up. They've been there. It's the eighth straight year they've been there. They know what they're doing. So
yeah. That
blew my mind a little bit. I thought there was a great game. I think Brady made a costly mistake where he threw the interception in the end zone to Reggie Ragland. I think if he actually looked, because it didn't even look like he looked before he threw that ball, but if he would have just looked and he could have thrown it away, I think you're looking at a 21-0 game. And, you know, I don't think it goes overtime. I think Pat Mahomes brings him back with all that firepower, but I don't know if it goes to overtime and they tie it. Pat Mahomes is for real. He's a beast. He's an athlete. 39 seconds after Tom Brady goes down with 2 minutes and you're just watching the game, you're like, well, this is Tom Brady. He's going to get 2 minutes. And Romo's even joking about it the whole time.
Yeah.
And don't leave too much time on the clock. Yep. Goes down, scores, and Brady's like, I left 39 seconds. It's over, up by three. And honestly, it is over. Pat Mahomes is the only guy that I think can come back, drive the field in 39 seconds due to his arm strength. Like, the kid throws seeds all across the field. So,
you've got guys that can do it arm strength wise. I'm just thinking his poise and
his accuracy,
his athleticism to get out of pressure, everything.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys with strong arms. There's a ton of guys with great accuracy.
Like Drew Brees can do it. You can't sit there and say he can't because you know Drew can.
Drew doesn't have the arm strength that he has. Drew can do it, but I'm saying in 39 seconds, I don't know if Drew could throw a seed like that. Cam's got the arm, but Cam doesn't have the accuracy. That's what I'm saying. This guy, Cam has the athleticism. A lot of guys have the Lamar Jackson athleticism. These guys don't have all in one like Pat Mahomes. I mean, that, and he's going to Topgolf and stepping on golf balls.
I saw that.
For like 500 yards. So, I mean, this guy's a straight up athlete.
It was a great game.
Great game.
You know me as a doubter of Pat Mahomes. I'm not saying I'm a doubter. I just wasn't a firm believer. I figured that the kid would get rattled. He proved me wrong. So kudos to you, Pat Mahomes. I mean, I'm not saying it takes a lot to like impress me, but I'm just saying like I really, I mean, you see a lot of these.
If you're not impressed by Pat Mahomes, dude, I just said I am,
but I'm just.
I know.
A lot of these cats. A lot of these guys coming fresh out the league, and they get off to these hot starts, and they got some teammates, which, let's not lie, beginning of the year, Kareem Hunt helps. Tyreek Hill helps. Please. Having Tyreek Hill helps.
Travis Kelce. I mean,
right, but I'm just saying.
Sammy Watkins.
If you get the ball, Alex Smith had those guys too.
Alex Smith had those guys too.
Patrick Mahomes is a different beast.
Patrick Mahomes is different, but Patrick Mahomes can throw the ball further than 10 yards.
Yeah, but hear me out. That's where you're missing the point. Last year, Alex Smith had the most plays over 20 yards. So both of you are off base right now.
No, I'm not off base. How am I off base?
No, not at all. Because I'm saying that those athletes still existed there.
Yeah.
But they weren't winning games. They didn't win the playoff game.
But you're literally watching you're literally watching Tyreek Hill take a screen. He's taking a screen and turning it into 40 yards.
But so where you place that ball on a screen can make a huge difference.
My point is very simple. Alex Smith is a 10, 12, maybe 15-yard quarterback at best. Absolutely. That is his bread and butter. Within 15, he is money. But here's the thing. The Chiefs were lacking is that down-the-field push. Tyreek Hill can outrun anybody on the field, on the defensive side. The only guy he may have a problem with is probably Antonio Brown, maybe Odell Beckham, who's got some speed. Other than that, he's pretty much going to outrun you if he gets a little bit of a break. So all you got to do is be able to make that throw.
Dog Alex Ramsey ran stride for stride with him, dog. But dog Ramsey ran stride for stride with him, dog.
Okay. Anyways, because the Jaguars have been out
because he's a dog.
The season started. So anyways, I'm just saying. I give Pat Mahomes his credit. He did well. I was beyond surprised. I'm proud of the kid for doing what he did, and he's definitely impressed me. I was leery just because, like I was stating, you got guys out here that have people that can help, and they get to this point and they crumble. The division round, the wild card round, whatever, and they crumble. You normally don't get that poise. Big Ben did it. You know what I'm saying? When he was.
And he's been that guy his whole career for the most part. He's not afraid of that moment. He'll keep chucking that thing.
You don't get these guys often. And I'm going to say it, Pat Mahomes seems to be that guy, the newest version of that Carson guy. Wentz.
Absolutely.
I feel like Carson Wentz is that guy.
Carson Wentz could be that guy.
He has that style of play, that confidence.
Right,
that
but if he, but he's
Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was that guy before he tore his ACL. He was leading the race for MVP before he tore his ACL.
Okay, so Derek Carr 3 years ago before he broke his leg. He was leading the race for the MVP. Mm. So anyways, continue on.
Well, look, guys, so I think we're going to take a different role here. I'm going to be judge, jury, and executioner. And Kyle, we got this Saints and Rams game, the NFC Championship game. And we've had to hear all week from Saints fans. Robbie, you live in New Orleans. I'm sure you've heard all about it. Or you live in Louisiana, maybe not New Orleans. But Kyle, being a Saints fan, I've had to hear about it at work. And so I believe Robbie's done quite a bit of research. Have you not, just to kind of counter anything that Saints fans may have?
So just research in general as far as the way things are. And I mean, the articles and the rules and everything that they're doing. I'm going to come out and first off say very, very sternly. If you are literally the problem of this is not the call. The call was egregious, as everybody's saying. It was a horrible call. Such a blown call is ridiculous.
Let's preface by the outcome of the game.
Okay, right. But what I'm getting at is the fact that you're getting lawyers involved to sue, or you're sending death threats to these officials, or you're going on change.org or whatever your website is to sign petitions to get these refs fired. It's a bit too far. Go ahead.
There was a referee. For one, Saints fans aren't the first fans to send death threats, okay? And that's not every Saints fan. There's always a rogue fan in any fan base that will do that.
Kyle in his closet.
and said, what was the second thing you said?
I'm talking about like the petition to get them fired.
Get them fired.
Dude, tell me somebody shouldn't be fired.
Okay.
Dude, there was a referee. Hold on. There was a referee let go earlier this year for not calling a false start penalty in a meaningless game. Okay. I went to I saw a Jags Titans game this year. I mean, the officiating is so bad in the NFL. The NFL's biggest problem is not CTE and head injury. It's officiating. They blow calls all the time. Third and five, right? Taylor Lewan grabs Telvin Smith by the horse collar, slings him down to the ground. Mariota runs for 6 yards, gets down, first down, ends the game. If not, they punt back. It's a 9-6 game that the Titans ended up winning, but that is so obvious. People saw it 30 rows up. How does a guy miss it 5 feet away. That, I mean, that's the big thing to me. So, I mean, yes, I think somebody should lose their job. I thought the guy at that day for the Jags-Titans game should have lost his job. So, I mean, we could say these guys don't need to lose their job, okay, but someone's got to be accountable. We never hold referees or officials accountable for anything.
Let me ask you a question about accountability and all this bullshit, and we're going to throw everything out the goddamn window right now. Because let me tell you something. If that call takes place – if that call takes place in the first quarter or the first half, are we making a big deal about it?
Because of the situation.
Then stop. No, it's not because of the situation. It's because of something called recency bias. Will make a big – yes, absolutely, Kyle. It's the people that's making the biggest deal. It's the people that are making the biggest deal about the last thing they saw. You can't sit there and tell me the drive before when the Rams had all the momentum and going into the end zone – and Goff gets his face mask tore halfway around him, and then he shouldn't have had first and goal on the 1 yard line.
He should have.
And then let me ask you, hold on, stop. If he scores a touchdown, it's 24-20, and all this call is null and void.
No, it's not, because then the Saints still drive down the field, and they should have the ball first and goal at the 3 yard line after that.
Okay, and if they score a touchdown, then guess what? Then the Rams get the ball back again.
Well,
how do you know that they're going to score? How do you know the Saints are going to score when they got the ball at the 9 yard line? How come?
Here's the biggest thing.
You're making
a valid point because you're very right. But the point is that that's being lost, that all Saints fans just need to say, but it's being lost in the media right now, is let the game go through in that last one, because that was the most egregious penalty, like you said, in the entire game. I don't think any of us can say we've seen a worse pass interference call in our lives. Okay. And then the main point is the opportunity that was taken away. Okay. The opportunity to be able to get the ball at the 3 yard line with a minute 33 left, be able to drain the rest of their timeouts out and then kick a field goal. See, that's the only thing. No one's saying the Rams shouldn't have got a penalty either, but yet with that said, Saints still throw down
the problem. They're not even saying nothing about the Rams penalties and the penalties against the Rams.
I'm telling you as a Saints fan. So there you go. I'm telling you. So there's
you're one out of the 14 million that I got to listen to all day, first of all. Go ahead.
All right. Well, so either way. So it's either way. The Saints still drive down. They don't get that opportunity. Okay? And that was the worst call of the game. The officiating in that game was horrible. There was two face mask calls on Goff that should have been called. There's a pass interference that I keep bringing up that happened early in the third quarter when the Saints were up by two – late in the first half, Saints were up by two scores. Ted Ginn gets mugged, and the DB tries to pick it off. No flag is thrown. I mean, and imagine if the Saints get a first down right there in the 50-yard line, up by 13, still driving. So, I mean, either way, there was bad calls on both sides. But, yes, we are delving into the last call because it was the worst call at the worst time.
Okay. This all boils down to, once again, yes, it was the worst call that we've probably seen in a long time. We've seen bad calls. This is probably the worst pass interference call.
Absolutely.
But here's also what I'm looking at. You have to look at everything else. All BS aside, Kyle, let's be honest with you. Saints win the toss. They get the ball. What do you think? Be honest with me. It's over,
Listen, it was 20-20 at the end of regulation. So these guys weren't running up and down the field. The Rams have a damn good defense. If y'all missed that, okay. So because Nick even said earlier that the defenses haven't been showing up. The Rams defense showed up. Okay, for me though, all the wind came out the balloon when they didn't call that call for the Saints, and I think the whole Superdome did as well. Okay, it's a lot easier to have the ball at the three than it is to then again drive the whole field against a elite defense. And don't tell me they're not elite because they have high big names everywhere.
Okay,
that's one of the biggest defenses in the league. And for them to try and then again drive up the entire field, it's tough.
Okay, it so is. let me counter that.
You know, in my heart of hearts, I was like, I'm glad the Saints got the ball. Uh-huh. But there was no – throughout that whole game, there was no thought in my mind that the Saints were going to drive it up their butt and go scoring in the game.
You can say ass. We're adults here. So let's look at it like this, though. So you're telling me let's look at this in perspective of things, because like I said, I've thought about a lot of this. And here's my argument. New England's up 3. Kansas City gets the ball, comes down, ties it with a field goal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. New England wins that toss. Tom Brady's got that ball. What do you think in your mind? Game over?
Yeah. Well, whose defense is better? Defense is better? Casey or Rams?
It's a very simple question. It's a very simple question.
Super Bowl in 2 weeks, Kyle. Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Same scenario happens, but it's Tom Brady versus the Rams. That's what he's asking you.
I will take the Rams.
You're going to take the Rams defense over Tom Brady?
If it comes down,
you don't lost your damn mind, dude. Get the hell out of here.
Tom Brady has 39 seconds. No, no.
I'm telling you right now, with the momentum, winning a coin toss in overtime, the momentum shifts. That's exactly that. My point is that Kansas City got the momentum because they drove the field in 39 seconds. They kicked the field goal, and boom, 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 we're tied all of a sudden at home. Kansas City's got the momentum. However, Tom Brady wins that coin. You see New England get crazy. You see them get hyped. Same thing happened to the Saints. You could say they took the air out, but everybody in that dome yelled when they won the toss. Don't sit here and say you took the air out, dude, because the momentum, yes, although they lost that momentum, you can't tell me that the momentum wasn't on their side when they won that coin toss with a Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer, record-breaking quarterback, and Drew Brees behind center. You mean to tell me you had no faith? Boy, you are not a fan. I'm going to tell you right now. I would have faith. I said it was over. When Drew Brees got that ball, I said, oh, damn, look, Saints done won the game. That's exactly what I said.
Kyle's a cynical fan.
As a quarterback.
It was one of those. No, because it was. If you watched the game, the Saints had two turn.
Drew Brees with a drive to win the game. I don't care what defense is out there. He's been carving everybody up. What did he do last time he played the Rams? Okay.
And then what? And did Talib play? No.
Talib's 38 years old. Dude, who gives a shit?
Okay, so he's not a top corner in the league.
I'm not saying that. You're still missing you're not grasping the point of
my
point. You are belittling Drew Brees as a Hall of Fame.
No, you're trying to
back last second man.
You're worse than
Kyle. Kyle's that fan when he watches games that he never believes it until it's over. Like, he sits there and he's like, even though he knows how good Drew Brees is,
I'm not gonna say they're not gonna
even though he knows how good Drew Brees is, he still sits there and he's like,
if there's a field goal from
anything can happen at this point, and he's waiting.
If there's a field goal from 30 yards out, Will Lutz, oh no, he's missing this one. And then when he makes it, he's like, oh, I knew he was gonna make it.
No,
reverse psychology.
Ain't that bad.
Come on, bro. Come on. Y'all are
saying, oh no, I'm not.
Nick knows I'm not that fucking fan.
I said you're a cynical fan. You're that fan who knows that Drew Brees could have came back and won that or could have taken that. As soon as you got the ball, you had a good feeling with you.
But you still knew in the back of your mind
you weren't so excited. You weren't locking it in the way Robbie's saying that he did.
No, I'm not, because I'm being truthful. I'm not going to be like some person that's going to be like, oh, Drew Brees is automatically going to go down. No,
why are you yelling at me when I'm agreeing with you? Why are you yelling at me when I'm agreeing?
I'm not yelling. That's directed towards Robbie. I'm yelling at Robbie right now. So with that said, I thought, yes, we would go down and score maybe a field goal.
Hold him contempt in court.
Yes, there is a part of me that says if we would have started off that drive real good, good, a few plays, 10 yards here, 6 yards here, 4 yards here, rushing the ball well, the Saints never got the run game going. So, no, I wasn't very confident that the Saints could sustain a drive consistently against that front. No, I'm sorry.
Alvin Kamara. Okay, so let's look at it like this. I watched the game.
So for you to call me a cynical fan and a downer fan just because I'm being real about a situation.
I didn't call you a cynical fan. I just said that if you honestly didn't believe Drew Brees can't bring his team down in overtime, Drew Brees has done this many a times.
You're taking it as me saying he can never do that. I'm saying if you can ask all these same people that are on your neck, these Saints fans, you can ask them, hey, do Saints have games where they struggle on offense and have to find different ways to win? They maybe can't run the ball. Maybe Drew Brees is struggling. He throwing 2 picks, maybe 3 picks in the game. And they're going to say yes because they've seen it. And that was one of those games for the Saints. They just were off. They couldn't get the run game going. And I've seen it plenty of times for over 10 years.
This, though.
So for me being the fan and seeing them play time and time again, yes, I'm going to tell you that I didn't have 100% fucking confidence that he was going to drive the ball up the field and score a touchdown. I'm sorry. They have a good front. They have a good defense. The way the offense played the entire game, no, I didn't have full confidence.
Don't be sorry because it didn't
happen. Yes, I do believe Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Yes, if you give the ball in his hands with a minute left, I do think he could drive the ball down the field and go score and win a game. But in those circumstances, watching Saints games, knowing Saints games, no, I wasn't 100% sure. So
do we want to blame Dallas?
So step off the gas pedal trying to throw me under the bus of being this downer fan.
I never said you were cynical. I just said if
both y'all just chimed in saying
no. No, he said cynical. I basically said that I think that's a BS. That's BS of a true fan. That's what I said. I didn't say you weren't. I said it's BS that you being put truthful. that you being did not truthful. Believe. But what and I'm I saying is you did not believe in your quarterback.
Who said you didn't believe? I'm saying I didn't believe in the offense as a whole. We couldn't get the ball going. We couldn't run the ball. We couldn't block. What are you talking about?
Okay, but what – I'm still, but you believe, but you're I hope the Super Bowl is in the same situation and Tom Brady as the quarterback. I hope so because I'm guaranteed. I'm telling you right now, if it's that same situation, the game's tied or whatever it needs to be, Tom Brady is scoring.
And let's see if the Patriots get a run game going where they run. The Saints only had like 50 yards rushing. Okay, so
you know the Patriots don't have to worry about a pass interference call going against them.
They were. Here's
a couple other things that I took from that game. So
here's the difference in the Super Bowl that you're trying to correlate right now, which is totally wrong. Yes, if the Patriots have 50 yards rushing by the end of regulation and they go into overtime, then yes, I believe that the Rams could put enough pressure on Tom Brady and really mess him up because you know why? They get pressure up the middle. So I think that, yes, I will take my same stance that if the Patriots only have 50 yards rushing, but I doubt it because the Patriots have made their bread and butter off running. This postseason.
I mean, a lot of their stuff, yeah, they run, but a lot of their stuff is dinking.
You're trying to correlate this into Tom Brady is totally irrelevant. This is two different type of things. Go ask these same Saints fans that you're arguing with, have they ever seen a Saints game where they struggle on offense but still even win maybe
7-14? First of all, I need you to realize that Drew Brees lives here, okay? Around this area, Drew Brees is the god.
Drew Brees. But here's the thing.
When am I going to talk? When am I going to talk? Because
never,
you're still going.
Never. Because
I mean, can we get an order in the court? I thought you were the judge.
Listen, I like the back and forth.
I like the back and forth.
This is not a back and forth.
Kyle's having a conniption.
I know because he's seizing up over Drew Brees.
Last point. I'm not down on Drew Brees. I was down on the offense as a whole. This is a team sport. I didn't have confidence in the entire offense, driving the ball the entire field. My point is, we were robbed of the opportunity to have the ball at the 3-yard line with a minute and 30 left, drain timeouts, leave 3 seconds, kick a field goal, see you later. Okay? I felt a lot better about being able to do that rather than get the ball in overtime and drive the whole field. So right. For you to be like, well, so, Saints still got the ball back either way. No, it's not either way because it's not the same situation.
Okay. It's not the same situation. So let's look at this. The Saints had the ball two times, and you say whatever you want. I don't care. You could say, well, that was at the beginning of the game. Who gives a shit, dude? Let me tell you something. The Saints had the ball twice in the red zone at the beginning of the game.
That's my point. I didn't have confidence in the offense to go down and score because they couldn't even do it all game. They couldn't do it all game. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is the argument is the Saints got robbed. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you right now the Saints had more opportunities than the Rams.
The right opportunity. They didn't get the opportunity that mattered.
I mean, dude, just time out. Hold on. Can you bring the royal court in here? Let's roll the red carpet. Let's start the fans. Let's get you something hot. You thirsty? Let me get you some water, Gatorade. What do you want to drink?
If this was Oakland and someone got blasted like that in the same game, the same magnitude, everything on the line like that, you would be blowing up right now. So
if this was Oakland and that ever happened, that'd be, first of all, in my dreams because we're not going to make it that far in a while. And second of all, it'd probably be a riot on the field because these guys, I went to Oakland, these fans are absolutely insane. So, no, the refs wouldn't even made it off the field, first of all. So that's New Orleans for you. So, but what I'm getting at, once again, is I'm just saying, the fans in general are saying that the Saints are robbed. I thought the Saints were going to win. You're acting like I was rooting for the Rams. I wasn't rooting for the Rams. My pick was for New Orleans to actually win the Super Bowl. When Drew Brees had the ball in overtime, when they won the toss, I said, game over. because I have faith in Drew Brees. Not saying that you don't, but I'm saying I do. I don't care about your, well, the team ain't doing well. Guess what? Tom Brady plays with absolutely nobodies. Say he, besides what, Gronk, who's washed up now, Edelman, who's the only guy that he really has.
Call Gronk washed up is a little silly.
Well, I think you know what? Okay, that's what I'm getting at. Okay, I apologize. You're right, Your Honor. He's not washed up. He's just deflated. No pun intended. Anyways, what I'm getting at is Gronk is not 100%. Okay? His main wide receiver is Josh Gordon, who, where's he at now? Thank you. Okay? And now he's got Cordarrelle Patterson, who's what? A return specialist. The only guy he's remotely got is Edelman, which... Michael Thomas is better than Edelman. He's got a running back in James White, which
Don't disrespect Hogan and not mention him. No, that kid has come out and played.
Hogan is, Hogan.
No, I guess Sony Michel's not a good back either.
Time he hasn't out. Well let running me, downhill. Let me, Sony Michel.
A run game is a quarterback's best
Your Honor,
friend, Rob.
Your Honor.
A run game is a quarterback's best friend, Rob. Come on. And they've been calling me Rob.
Whenever you're done. Chewing on that bullshit you've been chewing on all day. Let me speak. I'm not okay. Alvin Kamara and James White, they're washed. They're even. Mark Ingram and Sony Michel. Michel, who is where was he picked in the draft, Kyle? What round?
Second.
Okay, towards the end, right?
First. No, first round pick. Wasn't he a first round pick?
Either way, he was not expected to come in and beast, right?
That's what the first round picks are expected.
So you're expecting him when James White's a starter? Okay.
You expect Sony Michel to win that job early in the season, in my opinion. Like, but he drafted him to
but
be
he
that
did.
Guy.
But
no,
he did.
But you still drafted him with intentions of him.
What I'm okay.
He's supposed to be a star.
Here's what I'm trying to get at. You're not listening. Tom Brady has got, in my opinion, I don't care what you say, Tom Brady's got less weapons than Drew Brees.
Facts.
There you go. So you're telling me that regardless of defense, sorry, when you have the less weapons, Tom Brady made those plays.
So what tight end does Drew Brees have? What other receiver other than Michael Thomas does Drew Brees have?
Ted Ginn is a playmaker, always has been his entire career.
You are the first one to say Ted Ginn is a fucking playmaker.
Ted Ginn is not a bad player. You mean to tell me he's not?
What's his average catch? I want to know what his average yards per catch is, honestly.
Yeah, because he catches two balls. He catches two balls.
Here's what I'm getting at. Playmaker. It doesn't matter. The weapons, similar. I would give the edge roughly to Breeze just because. Here's the deal. You have Edelman. And that's basically, in that situation, rarely Gronk because he's hobbled. You got Edelman. Tony Romo saying, oh, dude, look, here's Edelman up the middle. What does he do? Edelman up the middle. Doesn't matter what anybody does. Tom Brady executes.
Edelman's a Hall of Famer, just to let
Tom,
you know.
Yeah,
Tom,
absolutely. Edelman's so a Hall of Famer. He's a fucking bum, right?
He's talking about Edelman like he's a bum. Like, Edelman's going to be a Hall of Fame fucking receiver.
But Edelman is also getting older. I mean,
he's still balling.
Okay, but cue the drop ball after he almost muffed the punt.
He catches everything. I know,
but
he catches everything.
I understand, and so does Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas was getting lit on a lot of those plays and holding on to every ball. Michael Thomas, if he continues what he's doing, he will be a Hall of Famer.
No. If he continues on the pace he's on, he'll be better than Jerry
Edelman.
Rice.
Yeah, exactly.
Better than Jerry Rice. His numbers are that good.
That's what I'm getting at. Okay. All in all, if you equal them out, Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. I still think I'm going to pick Tom Brady in that situation. But if Drew Brees was against whoever, I'm picking Drew Brees is what I'm getting at. That's what you're not understanding.
I'm right with you, Rob.
But you're not picking the offense. When the offense is crumbling, just like you can't sit there and say the Patriots offense is star-studded. Tom Brady makes throws.
Here's the difference.
Tom Brady makes plays.
And so is Drew Brees. He was throwing and making plays, but Drew had a lot of pressure on him. All right, Drew was getting pressure up the middle on the sides. I mean, guys were getting to him, man.
I think the Rams are good enough. They're going to do that to anybody. At the end of a game, when you have to stretch the field, anybody's going to struggle.
So we're negating the fact that Kansas City was tied for first in the league in sacks this year, right? Their secondary might be weak, but you're mean to tell me.
Yeah, but it's matchups. So where the Patriots' offensive line is strong.
So guess also, what?
Their strengths played to Kansas City's strengths as well.
No, this is where they slowed him down. Because This is why they didn't get sacks, because they were able to run the ball.
So, but without
Rob, you play football. You know this. A run game slows down a pass rush.
Without Aqib Talib, the Saints destroyed the Rams, right?
And they were running the hell out of the ball. They ran the hell out of the ball.
I think that was without Fowler, too, wasn't it? That was without Fowler, too, I think.
No, Fowler. I think I don't remember. I think no, Fowler played.
Fowler played. Yeah, but I'm getting it. It's the same. I don't know, like
eight or nine.
Yeah, it was the trade deadline's like week 5 or 6, so it was dope. Yeah,
trade deadline's week 8.
It was like 8 or 9. I think it was week 9 because Talib had the same game.
They were 8-1, 8-0, and not 8-1 was the records.
7-1 and 8-0. Yeah, so it was week.
It was week 9.
It was week 9 because they were 8-0 and Saints were 7-1.
So if he was playing, it was probably out of limited. I mean, he wasn't really.
But either way, what I'm getting at is they remotely had the same front four, the same everything, but without Aqib Talib. You mean to tell me Aqib Talib, that one guy, made that much difference on the front four? I think the Rams prepared.
I'm saying the Rams schemed it up better and stopped the run. That's all I'm saying.
There's plenty of games that you play twice a year and you play completely different the next time you play them with the exact same personnel.
But New England did the exact same thing they did to Kansas City early in the year.
Because it's New England, bro. It's New England.
There you go. It's Tom Brady, bro. Tom Brady. All I'm saying is the Saints had plenty of opportunities before the penalty, and they had a penalty, and they had opportunity out the penalty. As a fan, I would be highly upset. Would I sit there and write letters to a lawyer or to Roger Goodell, literally waste my time calling the NFL office and doing all this stuff? Hell no. What are they going to do? You're nobody.
They're not going to do nothing.
That's my point. My whole thing is, at the end of the day, in my opinion, the fans are dragging this on way too much. I mean, there's probably people out there that's got to worry about paying child support and taking care of their family, but they'd rather be crying over the Saints and trying to call Roger Goodell.
Listen, I was over this by yesterday. I was done talking about this to everybody yesterday. I knew I was going to talk about it on the podcast here, but I've been over it. It's over. Nothing's going to change. It makes me feel better that at least everyone knows we got jobs.
Are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
I'll watch the first part, and I'll probably watch – I've been joking about boycotting it, but I'll watch
the first – I boycotted the last one.
I'll watch the first
– Why did you boycott the last one?
Because the Jags got cheated out of being there. I didn't watch football. I didn't do anything sports-related for a solid 30 days.
That's ridiculous.
But either way, I'll catch the first part of the game. I'll watch a little bit of it, and then
if the game is 20-20 at halftime, if the game's 16-16 at halftime, you're going to be watching?
Yeah, well, let me finish, checking up. And then
you can cut me off all day. I figured it was just normal that I could do the same thing to you, but go ahead, continue. I thought there was nobody in this world that could talk more than me. Found him. My own damn cousin.
Yeah, runs in the blood, I guess. No, I'll check. I'll watch the first little bit of the game, and I'll check in on it. And if it's close to the end of the game, I'll definitely tune in to see what happens. But I'm not gonna be glued to the TV now.
Yeah, you're so full of shit. We're probably having a Super Bowl party.
That's what I'm looking at. I'll probably be at work, so I don't know what I'll do. But if I wasn't at work, just say I'm not at work or I'm doing whatever I'm gonna do. I probably have nothing to do on that Sunday. I'm gonna watch the Super Bowl.
But I mean, I usually throw Super Bowl parties, but I can't tell you the last time I've sat and watched an entire game.
Nick, do your thing.
I have a verdict. I think, Robbie, you've displayed you've presented a better case, but I agree with Kyle. There's accountability in every line of work that you do, and the amount of money that's being traded, the amount of things that are at stake in an NFL franchise when you're making bad calls. I think there should be a level of accountability. And I think firing somebody for something that you had to go back.
I'm not arguing against that.
Hey, don't let him talk. The decision's been made.
You said that you did not think that they should be fired.
No. I did not say that. I said I don't think that you should have fans writing these letters to be fired. They should be held accountable. I'm just saying you got guys wasting their time. They're filing petitions. Over 500,000 petitions. To get these guys fired and to get a rescheduled thing.
They only have so many outlets in which they can speak their mind. I mean, not everybody uses Twitter. So the people who are willing to go to those links, that just shows you the passion in which they feel about this particular subject.
Your Honor, and to all the Saints hater, it's still who that.
And everybody's still wondering who that is.
Yes. They're not in the Super Bowl. Guys, Super Bowl picks. Who you got? Let's do it next week. We got the Pro Bowl. We got all kind of stuff. We've got other stuff coming up. Dude, we just wasted.
Don't even go there.
I say we just wasted. We literally just took the whole episode on that, which I figured was going to happen. Remember we said 15, 20 minutes?
Who was it that claims college football championships that they didn't make it in just because they went undefeated? That's what Kyle's doing with the Saints.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. That's the other thing I don't get. I mean, you got all these, they want to reschedule this game and stuff. Like, literally, my biggest argument, here's my thing. My biggest argument was like, are you legitimately trying to reschedule a football game over a penalty? And then you want to review penalties or review games that were not called?
Too much. Yeah.
Dude, you're opening Pandora's box.
We do not need to review any of that. I think we just need better officiating.
My verdict wasn't completely over because, Kyle, your entire argument, your entire basis of the line that you were on was wrong. Because I've talked to you for so long, and your opinion has always been the same. You do not lose or win a game off one play, off of one bad decision. You have 60 minutes between that time.
Recency bias.
You have 60 minutes within that allotted amount of time to get it done. So for you to lose off based off one play means that you didn't get it done on the other.
So therefore, my argument that I was arguing, I win, Your Honor, just so you know.
My biggest point, I don't know how you let him you're never going to be a judge, Nick, because you let this guy.
Because those are two different verdicts on two different subjects. You won on one, he won on the other.
My point was that they didn't get the opportunity to get that. Okay,
they didn't get the opportunity because they got the ball first.
They had that opportunity for 60 minutes, and they got the ball first in overtime.
So they had the opportunity. So in overtime,
the opportunity in overtime
is to win if you score first. If you score a touchdown on your first drive, the game's over. They had that opportunity, so nothing was taken from them because they were given one right back.
All right, guys. Until next week, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to talk Super Bowl. We're definitely going to talk college basketball. Kyle's been itching at it. We're going to talk college basketball next week. You got to be ready for that. I know I am. I'm gearing up. I've been watching a little more college basketball than I normally do, trying to gear up. Guys.
Real quick. What's up? Is James Harden the best player in the NBA right now?
Offensively, yes.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
I would agree.
I'd have to say this.
I don't know if he's the overall 61
points
best.
Last night. I mean, come on.
I don't know if he's the
most
overall
points in
best
Madison
player.
Square Garden by a visitor, tying only Kobe Bryant.
I don't know if he's the overall best player, but he is definitely the most dominant offensive player in the league.
He can't be guarded.
No, he can't. And right now he is like 22 straight or 21 or 22 straight games right now at 30-plus points. Secondly, he's really third to Wilt because I think Wilt's got 60 and then 35.
Yeah, you just sparked it up, Kyle. You just sparked it up because this guy is really killing it right now.
I'm a super homer for James Harden, but dude, I'm a huge Rockets fan. There's no doubt. You can throw the bias on me on that. I get it. But I'm just saying, as far as an individual watching this guy play, yeah, he's getting away with a couple calls, like a couple tic-tac fouls. But that's something that the officials are putting on, especially with the landing zone, with these guys breaking ankles. Yeah. Oladipo just going down now. He's out for the season. Things happening like that. I mean, the NBA is going to, just like anything else, they're going to try to protect their star players. They're going to try to protect their players because that's what brings in their money. If James Harden goes down, now they're down Clint Capella, James Harden, and Chris Paul.
Yeah, they're not. They have
the Rockets are done. And then all the ticket sales are going to plummet.
But he's doing this without them.
If the Rockets have Clint Capella right now, the Rockets probably have won 20 straight.
I want to end on this. Sorry, Kyle. This is the last thing I'm going to say. James Harden is so good that he has other superstars in the NBA trying to mimic his patented moves. Like, he's that good.
Yeah, they're upset. And they're getting calls.
And the reason is because when he takes that step back, ball is not in his hand. He's usually shuffling the ball, whether it's the behind the back or from one hand to the other. The ball's in the air when he takes that step. So he's not traveling, and the other guys have to
figure it out. No, it's considered planting. It's considered a hop step or something.
I mean, the reason I brought that up, I saw NBA power rankings for top players. It was I didn't really agree. It was Harden, Anthony Davis, LeBron, Giannis, and then Steph. I mean, what do y'all feel about that top five? Quick,
Steph out of there.
Yeah, I don't think Steph needs to be in there either. I mean,
I didn't think so either.
I mean, I hate Russell Westbrook, but you probably.
LeBron's been
right
out
now. Right now, yeah, LeBron's been out too. LeBron's a bottom.
Yeah, how is he number three? Right,
he's fifth. I don't know.
Any of us?
Because he's LeBron.
Yeah. And whichever one of us picked against the Warriors, like straight up, I was wrong. Y'all were wrong. If DeMarcus Cousins and the Warriors are healthy, like they're fucking unstoppable.
I still think, but if James Harden plays the way he's playing now, which James Harden, I'm begging you, bro.
He can't keep playing that way when Chris Paul comes back.
I understand he's going to take, he's going to diminish a little bit, but if you keep that mentality and you keep making the shot, it's not about, dude, let me tell you something. I went to the playoff game last year. I watched them when they beat the Warriors in Houston, but I've also watched all the other playoff games. If James Harden makes the shots that he's taking, I don't care about him not taking as many shots as he's taking. But if he's still making the shots like he's making them now, they're not going to get beat. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, no, they're not. How often
is he going to keep hitting shots in fools' faces?
That's what I'm saying. Please, James Harden, I'm begging you, just please keep making your shots all the way through the playoffs, and we will win a title in Houston. I don't care what anybody says. If you do like you did last year when you went 0-12 from three in a game five, we're going to lose. Or game six, we're going to lose.
While winning, up by double digits.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. Like, if you start missing your shots, we're going to lose. And look, I get it. You wear down over time. I understand that. When Chris Paul and Clint Capella come down, don't shoot as many shots. Let them handle a little bit. Take over when you need to take over. That's what he needs to learn. Last thing, anybody got anything? Final thoughts? What you got, Kyle? Don't say nothing about who, Dad. Just say something.
Don't be such a psycho
fan. I spilled the beans last week, and Nick said he didn't know who took Golden State, but I'd pick Golden State to go all the way last week without Boobie Cousins. With Boobie Cousins, it's unfair.
It's Boobie, but we can call him Boobie, whatever. Not Boobie Miles.
They're gonna go all the way. They're gonna win it. Either way, if they face the Rockets in the first round, the second round, whatever they face them, they're gonna beat the Rockets and they're gonna go all the way. This is the only thing they need. They just need everyone to tell them they're out of it. Let them struggle a little bit and then catch fire after All-Star break and just throttle everybody.
All they have to do is make it to the West now because LeBron is not in the East anymore.
Just remember I said that. After All-Star break, they're going to catch fire and throttle everybody all the way through, win the championship.
But watch the Lakers, though. They might be sneaky. Keeping LeBron healthy.
The Lakers are giving everyone a good run. I mean, the Lakers almost beat the Rockets the other night. It was like
You're missing LeBron, but you're also missing Capella and Chris Paul.
I get it, but you still got to play the game.
I got it. Anyways, that's it for this week. We're done. We're out. We'll be back shorter next week. Actually, we'll probably be back on Wednesday. You're gonna get this tomorrow on the Friday, which will be Friday, whatever. And we're gonna do another one on Tuesday of next week. We're gonna record one probably Tuesday night or Wednesday night. It'll be out earlier than this one. That way, you'll hear our pick'ems for our Super Bowl. We may talk Pro Bowl if there was something cool that went on or whatever. We'll obviously going to hit on some more basketball, NBA, and college. And that'll probably be it. But other than that, thank you all for tuning in. As always, share it, like it, comment, whatever you want to do with it. We appreciate you tuning in.